The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
I know that in like public school history books, the only credit the church gets is like, I don't know, Inquisition, sale of indulgences, crusades. How about started the hospital system, started the university system, feeds, clothes, houses, educates more people on the planet than any other organization? How about that? And why? Because we look at God and we realize, whoa, I'm worth that much. Hey, you're worth that much too.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, hey, thanks for joining. That was Chris Stefanik. We're going to be talking to him a little bit later in the week, and I hope you can hang out and do that. I was going to share with you a stunning poll that I have seen, but I'm going to wait on it. I really want we'd like to talk to Chris and get your take on this as well. That it's actually quite disturbing, to be honest with you, that so many millennials right now, 43% of them, over 2 out of 5, almost 1 out of 2 if you think about it, they just don't know, don't care, don't believe that God exists. You know, I just talked about the reality of St. Michael. You talk to an exorcist, you watch an exorcism. Well, I think every millennial should see one. You'll believe God exists. You know, you'll believe that God exists. We'll talk about that coming up a little bit later in a week. So stay here. As I tell you all the time, my show is a mixed bag, right? Always something different here. I do want to bring us back to what's unfolding in the world right now, and I'm going to look at your safety, because really this is what it comes down to. As the U.S. is exiting Afghanistan, right, the Taliban have completely taken over the country of Afghanistan. Experts on terror, you know what they're saying right now? They're saying that that's going to give groups like ISIS and Al-Qaeda, it's going to give them a base of operations so that they can resume the kind of terrorist attacks that they were doing in the years after 9/11. That's what we're going to see. You know, Afghanistan is going to be a camp. It's going to be a terrorist training camp. It's pretty much what it's going to be. And if you, like me, are aware of how porous our southern border is, it is. Look at how many people are coming across that border. You know, MS-13, you know, gang members are being arrested. They're being caught. But how many people get through that are never caught? It wouldn't take much to have one of these terrorists slip through. And it's not just from Mexico. It's not from Guatemala. It's not from just South America. We're seeing these from the Middle East and other places. People are coming through our southern border. Now that we're leaving the U.S., now that we're leaving Afghanistan, it means more than likely we're going to start seeing terror attacks on our own soil again. I pray to God we'll never see a 9/11 again. Pray to God that you're safe in whatever city that you are traveling in or wherever you might be. You know, and it may not be a building. Maybe it'll be a dam. You know, maybe it'll be a train rail. Maybe it'll be something else. You know, some toxin put in the water. Who knows? I mean, who knows? Let's pray protection over our country, but let's also be vigilant. Let's make good decisions as a nation. You know, contrary to what the current administration believes, it's not going to be from groups like the Proud Boys, right? Everybody's pointing fingers at them. And look, I'm not supporting them. Please don't get me wrong. Al-Qaeda and ISIS only need a place like Afghanistan to give them stability. They have it now, along with billions of dollars. $85 billion of U.S. military equipment was left behind. Tony Gonzalez, he's a Texas representative. He urged Biden to secure the southern border. He says, you got to secure our southern border, Mr. President. Suicide bombs in Kabul today, he said. Suicide bombs in the U.S. tomorrow. You imagine that? Some madman puts on a suicide bomb and he goes into some crowded area somewhere, some school, some hospital. Who knows? And don't think that these terror groups are going to try and sneak across the border. Don't think that. You'd be foolish to believe that. National Review writer Jim Garrity, he wrote about people he knows, right? He's got contacts in Afghanistan who are now being left behind. These people know that the U.S. is departing. And they are desperate. They are pleading. They're using phrases like this. Could you please at least get me to Mexico, they're saying. At least get me to Mexico. So people around the world know that if you want to get into the U.S. without any papers, go to Mexico and then go over the border. That's the way you get in. But look, this new terror threat comes as a number of cities around the country have defunded police departments because of politically correct demands. What a different world we're living in right now, isn't it? Just think about where we were Let's turn the hands of time back to the death of George Floyd and the absolute chaos that ensued afterwards, right? We had Black Lives Matter burning cities. And I know, look, I don't want to be disrespectful at all. What happened to George Floyd was horrific, all right? It was wrong. And justice has been meted out. But when I saw looting and I saw burning and I saw the destruction, I saw the insanity of wanting to defund police departments. Come on. You know, look where we have come now, right? That means there's less funding for intelligence gathering and covert operations, you know, against non-citizens as well. That's what we're going to see here right now. Michael Letts, is the CEO and the founder of Invest USA. They're a national grassroots nonprofit organization, and they're helping hundreds of communities provide thousands of bulletproof vests to their police force, forces through everything from sponsorship to public relations to fundraising programs. And if you want to learn a little bit more about what they're doing, check out in their website. It's at investusa.org. investusa.org. And Michael Letts joins me today. I'm delighted to have him here for some perspective. Michael, good afternoon. Thanks for joining me.
Well, it's always a privilege to be on a show that's making such a positive difference in the communities that you serve. We appreciate it. Thank you.
I'm grateful. I'm just getting word right now that the last of the U.S. military planes have departed Kabul at 2:30 p.m. Central Time, 3:30 Eastern. Wow, that's 12 Pacific Time. Look, right now, Michael, and I know you're plugged into this. I want to give people a perspective. I don't want to scare people, but I do want to make them aware of what might loom in the future. America is hated by our enemies. How prepared are we as a nation right now for terror attacks? We feel relatively isolated. I'm hearing from the State Department that there's no real threat to the homeland at this particular point. I'm just seeing what's playing out, and I try to look down the road and what might loom in the months or years ahead. How prepared are we as a nation right now for a terror attack?
We are not prepared at all, quite frankly. In fact, it's the exact opposite. We are taking steps to invite terrorism into this country. We've done it on a number of different levels. First and foremost, we've opened up our borders, as you mentioned. It's very easy for any terrorist to slip across the border. We've also provided a homegrown body of terrorists here in this country. Black Lives Matter, Antifa, we saw their operations, how similar they are to the Taliban and to ISIS across the seas, silencing anybody that disagrees with it, wanting to burn, loot, and destroy. And then we've capped it off by saying, okay, the only thin blue line that will help protect us, let's defund them.
Yeah.
Let's make sure they don't have the necessary equipment to protect themselves.
Yeah.
And let's make sure we send a clear message that, hey, this is not an occupation you need to be involved with. Quit and go home. So how can we expect anything other than to be a prime target for terrorist threats in the days ahead?
It's so true. In fact, Congressman Gonzalez has said that we're going to see suicide bombs in the U.S. I mean, that's a frightening statement from a United States congressperson. Can these be stopped before they're detonated? What do we need to do to protect our country?
Well, I think there's quite a few things that we can do as a country. The first and foremost thing I want to mention to your listeners today is the days of sitting back are over. The thin blue line is fixing to snap. It cannot readjust itself unless we as the American people rise up in force and demand change. And here's how we do that. First and foremost, we need to demand that our law enforcement and our first responders be given the due respect that they've deserved all these years, that they be funded, additional funding. You know, if your listeners want to take some action, they can go to our website, investusa.org. We've just put a petition on there to ask that we defund politicians and refund law enforcement. Our safety is at stake. The safety of your children is at stake. Yeah. And so we have to first and foremost show the American government that we demand and expect better. This debacle that has happened in Afghanistan is simply unforgivable. To allow American citizens to be behind enemy lines, to bring in refugees without any looking at their background, any screening, is unforgivable. They have set up a precedent to make America ripe for terrorist attacks again. So what your listeners need to do is, hey, first of all, let our government know this is unacceptable. We'd rather defund politicians than refund police. Second of all, we want to make sure that they have the necessary equipment so they can do the job. Thirdly and foremost, we need to make sure that they understand that we're behind them. The American people are behind them.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I tell people.
Yeah.
One of the greatest things you can do on this day is find a first responder. You'll see them everywhere when you're driving. They're in their vehicles or on the street, firefighters, EMS workers, at fast food restaurants. Take the time to wave or to walk over and say, thank you for your service. I've got your back. Thank you for having mine.
Wow.
We have the lowest morale we have ever had in history among our first responders now. How can you expect people with low morale to be able to defend you against the terrorist attacks that are coming?
Yeah,
we've got to reverse this self-destructive mode that we as a country are in.
And I totally agree with that. I think it's such great advice for everyone, too. And you know, I just want to acknowledge that publicly here on the air. We're grateful for our first responders. You know, in time of trial and a need, people immediately turn to them. Found it ironic after this movement to defund police, you know, some of the people who are advocates of that, when their home was threatened or their personal safety, what did they do? They either hired personal security or they immediately turned, you know, to the authorities that they wanted to defund. So we're grateful for anyone who serves in that that line. You know, September is upon us. September 11th is right around the corner. That'll be 20 years since 9/11 took place. And, of course, Michael, we haven't had a major terrorist attack in years. Thank God. I'm delighted by that. You know, is our Homeland Security and our intelligence, I'm assuming they're doing a good job, and that may continue to be the case. Do you think what's happening in Afghanistan will reduce that level of protection? What are your thoughts on that and what we're now seeing unfold? And where's the Biden administration on all this?
That's just what I was fixing to say. Yes, you know, the Biden administration is what has caused this debacle. We talk about the State Department. This is the same State Department that, on the one hand, is telling American citizens to go to the airport to be able to get out, and at the same time, when they get there, they're denying them interest. This administration has continually lied to the American public. So if they're lying about that, what are they lying about in terms of Homeland Security? When you are attempting to create a Marxist socialist government, which is what their democratic intent is, instead of defending the liberties and freedoms that we have, we are not safer. We are much more vulnerable than we've ever been. But it's because of the administrative policies that we're having out there that we as an American people can say enough. We can rise up and we demand that these policies be changed.
That's so true. My guest today, Michael Letts, if you want to join us, the number here is 888-914-9149. I'll have him for a couple minutes, but if you want to get in, we'd love to get your perspective. Maybe you're a first responder. Maybe you've got concerns. Maybe you've got some insight you want to share. It's always good to have you pull up a chair and join the conversation. We're talking, if you're just joining us, protecting our cities against the threat of terrorism. And I pray to God that we remain safe and that we don't see anything in the future, that our intelligence communities, that those on the ground, those on our border are able to protect us from any individuals with nefarious intent. But I'm also a realist and just want to take a look at what might happen and how we keep our country safe. So on that point, Michael, let's pick it up on that. What can Americans do to keep themselves safe instead of relying on, let's say, first responders or the military or anybody else? Are there simple things that we as individuals can do to be prepared or be more observant? What advice can you give?
First thing is we have to become vigilant ourselves once again. You know, it's a tragedy, but you often hear that you don't know who your neighbors are across the street. Those days have to be bygone, and they have to be past us. You need to know the people that are next to you. You need to make sure you lock your home at night. You need to make sure that you have the ability to help defend by carrying a concealed or a firearm, or take classes to make sure that you have that opportunity. You know, there is a reason for the Second Amendment. As I said a minute ago, the thin blue line is fixing to break. We'll be the only thing that can shore it up. But we can't shore it up if we can't help those to protect those who protect us.
All right, I'll tell you what, we'll go to the calls. We'll take a few calls for you. The website, by the way, before my time runs out with me here, investusa.org, investusa.org. And Michael Letts is the CEO and founder of that. It's a the national grassroots nonprofit organization that is helping really hundreds of communities provide thousands of bulletproof vests to their police forces. Why do you need to do that? Has defunding been that bad that you've got to actually give law enforcement bulletproof vests?
We do. Let me tell you, when we first started this organization 25 years ago, 52% of law enforcement officers had no vests at all. We were able to get that down to 28%. Realize you're talking about 1.2 million officers across the country.
Wow.
That's still 400,000 officers with no protection at all. Then our criminal element got smart and decided instead of using sidearms, they began to use automatic weapons and assault rifles.
Oh,
and those will not be stopped by a concealable vest. We had to develop new technology called active shooter vests that would stop a rifle round. And now 92% of officers across the country do not have active shooter vests. And we're determined to make sure they have what they need to come home safely to their families.
Yeah, unbelievable. Thank you for what you're doing. Let me grab a quick call because we have a few moments. Samantha's got a question for you, Michael. She's listening to us in Michigan. And Samantha, thanks for joining the conversation. You're on the air.
Thank you. Hi, Michael.
Hello,
my question is, how do we fight for our country when we don't know who to talk to or we don't know how to
I think what we have to do is just like we're talking about, go to our website and take a look at this petition. Defund our politicians. We have to gain their attention.
Defund
our politicians. Yep.
Okay.
If they want to defund police, let's defund the politicians. Go to the website, sign the petition to do that. But more importantly, besides just signing the petition, is we have to become engaged with our neighbors. We have to collectively do what they're doing in Europe now. We have to take to the streets. You know, there are so many issues, and politicians just believe we don't care. But if we start taking to the streets, if we start organizing and having mass rallies, they will care. And we will be able to take back our country that we so rightly deserve.
Samantha, thank you. Thanks for calling. You know what you need to do, too, Samantha, and I'm with you. I mean, you can defund our politicians. Let them know where you stand. I think as citizens, we need to vote these people out of office. You know, I think those who want to defund police, I think they're a minority. The media has everybody boondoggled. They really do. They have people believing that, oh, my gosh, so many people want to do this. I think most sane people say, this doesn't make sense. You know, it's ridiculous. Law enforcement, first responders, these people are not our enemy. You know, they are not our enemy. There's been some horrific abuses. We've seen that played out in the media. And for those bad apples, we certainly need to get them out. But, you know, I think you really need to vote. You need to call and to write to your elected official and let them know. I mean, if more people do that, believe me, they take note. Let me grab Vito in Parkland, Florida. Vito, welcome. You're on the air with Michael Lutz.
Yes, I would like to say to Michael that law enforcement and the military to point the finger at the news media that won't spit out all of these things that you're saying and get to the ears of the public on mainstream. Why are they just not spitting it out?
So let me rephrase that for Vito. Vito, that's a good point. Thank you. He's saying, why doesn't members of the law enforcement community and the military go on the media and go ahead and really reveal what's happening here? Why don't they expose what's happening here? But I guess, and I'll answer part of that, and Michael, I'm going to let you respond as well.
Sure.
It depends what outlet you go on. You know, that's really the problem. We have such polarized media in our country today that there's no longer, I don't see objective media, you know, where you can come on and honestly report. If they don't agree with your message, they're certainly not going to give you the platform. They're not going to let you use their platform to say, hey, this is what's happening. But I'd love your thoughts, Michael.
Well, and just to follow up with what you said, certainly that's a part of it. The other part of it is, when you look at the military or law enforcement, they are public servants.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of that, they are vitally controlled as to what they can or cannot say, or they'll be fired. And I'm not in that position. I have been law enforcement for 32 years, and I'm going to speak my mind and tell the public what they need to hear.
Well, that is, I'm grateful. I'm going to say it's great. I am grateful for you and all that you've done there. And thanks for protecting law enforcement. If you want to learn more about what Michael Lutz is doing, he's the CEO and founder of Invest USA. That's their website, too, investusa.com. As I said, they're a grassroots operation helping to get bulletproof vests to hundreds of communities. And you know, keeping law enforcement safe. You can check out their work. I take a short pause. When we come back, conversation continues. I got a lot to share. Stay with me.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
The Drew Mariani Show, Relevant Radio and relevantradio.com. Drew Mariani is on your radio now, coast to coast on Relevant Radio.
Hey, thanks for joining me. Good to be here with you. I really do appreciate taking a look at life with you on a daily basis. And so often, you know, the news can be overwhelming. And I don't want anyone to fear. You know, I really don't. I don't want anyone to fear. All you have to do is look back at how much God loves us and what's unfolding in our own culture. You know, when you see these apparitions of the Mother of God, you know, when you see visions that are taking place like in Fatima, Portugal, those are visible manifestations of God's love for us. I really believe that. Should make you aware that, look, what's happening in the world, there are demonic forces driving a lot of this. There's a lot of division. There's a lot of hatred. There's a lot of unrest. There's a lot of rejection of God. But as Our Lady said in Fatima, in the end, you know, we win. The Immaculate Heart will triumph. In the end, we will triumph. And we saw what happened with the evils of the 20th century. I shared it a little bit earlier, the great story behind the prayer, St. Michael the Archangel. If you missed it, go to hour two of my show. You can go to the podcast when the show is over. Maggie will get it up for you. It's a great story of how that came about. And I really do believe, you know, that prayer is so critical in this day and age. Evil will be defeated. It will be defeated. And, you know, if you go to Twitter, Maggie was on Twitter a little bit earlier. In fact, Maggie, open up your microphone. You asked our Twitter followers a question, didn't you?
I did. I posted the St. Michael prayer, and then I asked our followers if any of them had seen fruits of praying that prayer. And David got back to us, and he said, I had a really bad panic attack in a parking lot once, and I prayed 3 St. Michael prayers, and immediately it was gone, and a calm came over me.
Yeah, that's great. I love it. The exorcist story I was telling you about with the boy who was possessed and how St. Michael played a role in that. After that event, that young boy went on to lead a normal life. He eventually married, named his first son Michael after the warrior angel, St. Michael. But he also had a great devotion. I was talking to my next guest that I said, is there a link to St. Michael and Fatima? And Barb Ernster, who's going to be joining me in a moment, says, yes, many people believe that, you know, the angel of Portugal was St. Michael. They really believe that. The Portuguese people have always believed that. Let's talk about what we're seeing right now. In fact, we'll talk about St. Michael. We'll talk about the triumph and all that takes place. In the end, God is with us, right? Bishop Sheen, and I want to share a prophecy that he had about the time we're living. We talked about Afghanistan. We talked about Islamic terrorism. We talked about all these different things that are happening. And we have this whole renewed threat. It seems like Islamic terrorism is hanging over our heads. We're going to see more of it. And like I said, it's easy to resort to fear and even the prejudice, which is wrong. Don't give in to either of those. But fear is not the right response because God calls us to trust. He calls us to trust in him. He's the one who's in charge, not us, not anyone else. And prejudice, I know it's easy to start to get your heart filled with hate towards, you know, somebody who you think might be of the Islamic persuasion against people because of their actions. Those are the actions of a few. And prejudice is never right, whether it's over religion or skin color or whatever it may be. We're called to love. So with the Taliban now running Afghanistan, the last plane of U.S. troops left at 3:30 Central Eastern Time, 2:30 Central, 12:30 Pacific Time today. We're gonna see a lot of mayhem, especially against women. We're gonna see Christians being persecuted. ISIS is suddenly back on the radar, And it could be easy to say, my gosh, look at these forces, Islam. They're going to be dominated. Archbishop Fulton Sheen, who I believe will be a saint one day, his beatification is underway, as you know. He's going to be beatified one day. Back in 1950, he was almost visionary, he was almost prescient. He noted that Islam, it was back on the rise after being defeated during World War I. And he wrote this. I'll just share his own words with you. He said this: although the statesmen have not yet taken into account, there is still a grave danger that the temporal power of Islam may return, and with it, the menace that it may shake off a West which has ceased to be Christian. They have ceased to be Christian and affirm itself as a great anti-Christian world power. I want to stop on that one sentence. This is 1950, when Catholic schools were brimming, right? Where people were, you know, not divorcing at the rate we are today, where abortion was not even legal. Sheen says that the temporal power of Islam may return with a menace, and it may shake off a West which has ceased to be Christian. Look where we are. Clearly the West has rejected God, right? And we affirm ourselves. I mean, the Democratic Party, during one of the conventions, booed God, right? And again, I don't want to be political here. I'm just telling you what's happening in terms of politics and education and the media. This is a nation that has boasted in our great anti-Christian world power. We were founded on Christian principles, right? We believe that every citizen, every human being has an inalienable right to life, to liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's all been rejected today. But before I diverge, let me go back and I'll share a little bit more of what Sheen said. He went on to say this: it is our firm belief that those fears some entertain concerning Muslims are not to be realized, but Islam, instead, will eventually be converted to Christianity in a way that even some of our missionaries never suspect. It's a hopeful vision of what's going to happen in the future, right? Can you imagine that? And I just want to jump back in time, 1531, right? We've got a culture of death in Aztec Mexico. We have millions of souls being lost, hundreds of thousands being sacrificed some days, right? Absolutely, the worship of false gods. What happens? The Mother of God appears to a peasant, to an Aztec Indian named Juan Diego, and there's a mass conversion. 9 million Aztecs convert to the Catholic faith. Don't think that our brothers and sisters of Islam will not come to know the truth, because I believe one day they will. I believe Our Lady is going to be instrumental in that, and I believe we need to be praying and fasting for the conversion of those who are under the Islamic persuasion right now. I believe it will happen. I do. Sheen does. Sheen says this. I'll repeat that line because I just love it. He says, it's our firm belief that the fears some entertain concerning Muslims will not be realized, but that Islam instead will eventually be converted to Christianity in a way that some of our missionaries never suspect. He goes on to say, it is our belief that this will happen, not through the direct teachings of Christianity, not through the words, not through catechesis, right? He says, but through a summoning of the Muslims to a veneration of the Mother of God. I had a friend, and Bob, if you're listening, thanks for sending me that. Bob Ott, great man who I've known for years, who is a great champion of Our Lady. He sent me an email a little bit earlier today and says, hey, you've got to see this. He and I were going to work on a project, and we have worked on projects in the past. In Zaytun, Egypt in 1968, in the dome of a church, the Blessed Mother appeared. And she appeared visibly, not like in Fatima or Medjugorje or Kibeho or places where, you know, Lourdes, La Salette, wherever, where the Mother of God is often invisible to everyone but the seer. Here, she appeared visibly. And Jews and Muslims and Christians and people of all walks of faith saw her. These visions occurred for about 2 years. The local authorities there approved these visions, Creolos V. The patriarch there approved it. There was all sorts of phenomena that occurred. There were luminescent light at night, like doves, and there was the scent of incense that would waft through the streets, and mass conversions took place. She appeared to many Muslims. And as I shared with you in the past, too, you're hearing about the conversion. Jesus Christ himself is appearing to Muslims in Africa. I shared the story of Emmanuel Segastache and appearing in dreams and in visions to people all throughout the Middle East, to Muslims. I think we're on the verge of something great. I do. I think something is looming. Will we see it in our own day? I don't know. But if what's been prophesied in so many different places is in our future, in your future, in the not-too-distant future, man, we are living in a special time. And it will be Our Lady. We've been given a weapon. We've been given a tool. We've been given an instrument of conversion, the rosary. We should be praying it. There's this strong connection between Islam and Mary. And as you know, we've talked about Fatima. We talked about Guadalupe. You should also know that there are reports out of places like Iran, where Jesus himself randomly appears to Muslims. And they're being converted. They are being converted. So we need to pray. You need to pray for the conversion of Muslims, because that's a prayer that God, I think, wants to answer. I do. I know he wants to answer that prayer. We should pray the chaplet. We should pray the rosary. Let's do it. Why not, right? Let's not fear. Let's not worry about suicide bombers. Let's pray for the conversion of those who have that hatred in their heart. Because, man, can you imagine how powerful those souls will be? Unbelievable. I'm joined right now by Barb Ernster, a longtime friend of this program. She's the communication director for the World Apostle of Fatima and the Blue Army. And check out the research. I'll put a plug in for this group. I love this group. But, you know, they're tireless. For over 100 years, well, not quite that long, I shouldn't say that. The visions took place 101, 102 years ago, right? 1917. So don't have me do the math right now. But they have been promoting those visions for decades, and they really know what the answer to the problems that face the world are. And if you want to learn a little bit more about what they're doing, go to BlueArmy.com. BlueArmy.com. Barb and I have spoken about how the Blue Army, you know, that army dedicated to Our Lady, has defeated the Red Army of atheistic communism that was so rampant, seemed so powerful. The Iron Curtain, how will it ever fall? Well, it'll be here forever. Nuclear weapons, right? Annihilation. No. I'm so convinced it was prayer. I'm so convinced it was Our Lady that was instrumental in the fall of all of that. I am so convinced it will once again be prayer and Our Lady that will bring about a change in the world today, this false ideology that is so pertinent. Barb, good to have you with us today. Thanks for joining me.
Well, thanks for having me on again, Drew. You are such an inspiration. My goodness, my heart is just floating out of my body right now listening to you.
All glory to God. All glory to God. I do believe it, though, Barb. And I know you do, too. Because, you know, there's a famous line that comes from Our Lady, and she said, "In the end, my immaculate heart will triumph." Let's start there. Let's talk about that. What did Our Lady in Fatima say? And maybe you can also expand on that whole Fatima connection. I think Fatima, you know, a lot of people are like, "Oh, it's 100 years ago. It's a dead apparition." No, I think we're still in the Fatima story. But let's talk about a little bit of that. I'll throw you that, and maybe we'll pick it up. Let's talk about Fatima. Why it is relevant today?
Well, Our Lady promised at Fatima to bring peace to all of mankind. That would include the Muslims. And we all know that Fatima in Portugal, tiny little village, very insignificant place on the face of the earth. There is no other place in all of Europe that's named Fatima. And that, of course, was named after the daughter of Muhammad, Fatima, who was given the highest place in heaven after the Virgin Mary. This is what Muhammad said about his daughter, that she has the highest place in heaven after the Virgin Mary. And in the Quran, the Muslims believe in the Immaculate Conception of Mary. They believe in her perpetual virginity. But Muhammad, they believe that he was the final one to receive the revelation from God, so they displaced Jesus as a prophet. But they have this great belief in the Blessed Mother herself and in her Immaculate Conception and her perpetual virginity. The name of Fatima comes from a time back in the 1,000 years, this castle of Orum was in place. It was always called the Castle of the Unconquerable from the time of the Roman times. It was a center of civil and religious authority all of a sudden, during 500 of those years, it was held by the Muslims. So the castle is now named the Castle of Orem, which is the Christian name given to the princess who converted. She was captured by a Portuguese knight, and they fell in love and got married, and she only lived for 1 year after her conversion. But they named the castle after her, and he buried her remains in what is now called Fatima. And so there's just no coincidence here that this little tiny place, the only place in Europe that has this name, Fatima, Our Lady, chose to appear here and be called Our Lady of Fatima.
Wow.
And it is at Fatima where the Pope Pius XII crowned Our Lady Queen of the World. And that's where she promised an era of peace to all mankind.
Yeah, I think you probably have said to me in the past, or maybe it was the president there, Dave Carollo, that, you know, the Fatima story is not over. And maybe it was, let me correct myself, I think it was Sister Lucia, wasn't it?
She talked about
this week of Fatima, so to speak. Expand on that. Where are we right now in that story, and what comes? Because we know the last day, I'm sure, is the triumph, you know, when Our Lady comes. And I think we'll see mass conversion. I think we'll see churches fill again. I think we're going to see God back in the hearts of people and a different perspective, way people live differently. But what did Sister Lucia say about that? You know, Fatima, some people think, has come and gone, but that's not really the case. What day of the week are we on?
Well, in 1993, she was interviewed by Cardinal Vidal from the Philippines, and she said, "We are in the third day of the week of Fatima." She called it the post-consecration era, and she said much more was going to be unfolding. But where we're at, Drew, is exactly what you said. We have turned away from Christianity in this country. You were talking about the Taliban in Afghanistan. Well, I have a son who was just recently deployed. He's a Marine.
Wow.
He may have known some of those Marines that were killed.
Wow.
And I told him before he left, I said, you know, I'm not sure what we're fighting for anymore, but do everything for the glory of God, because that's all you can do at this point with what's going on in the world. And one thing he told me that kind of disturbed me, so there are a lot of men and women in the military who just are not really believers. They're kind of atheist or agnostic, or they're just not practicing. And that made me think about the fact that, you know, you think about the 450 years ago, this is the 450th anniversary of the Our Lady of the Rosary, when the Battle of Lepanto was won against the Muslims. And all those soldiers or those sailors went to Mass that morning and they prayed the Rosary before they went out to fight the Moors or the Turkish Ottoman Empire. And I think about what our military now, I mean, I know there are a lot of men and women in the military that are strong believers, and they say there's no atheists in foxholes,
yeah,
but it makes me a little concerned that we're not fighting as Christendom anymore. And there's a lot of people, we're seeing our freedoms being taken away, and I'm not sure what it is we are fighting for. But Sister Lucia did warn that if we did not listen to Our Lady and heed her request, that communism would spread throughout the entire world, including the United States. And we're seeing that happening. Now, the consecration was done. She said we are in the post-consecration era. Russia did turn away from its atheistic way. The government turned away. However, the Lord is going to convert Russia is going to be through the Russian Orthodox Church. But there's also the Muslim people, and Fatima is significant to them. She is the most highly regarded woman outside of the Blessed Mothers, underneath the Blessed Mother. And so I do believe Fatima is so significant today, especially as we see things heating up again in Afghanistan and the Taliban taking over. And I do pray for the Taliban. I do pray for the Afghan people, but I pray for the conversion of the Taliban. And we need to take up what Our Lady asked us to do 100 years ago at Fatima. Our organization is celebrating 75 years next year,
wow,
75th anniversary,
wow,
of the Blue Army.
That's awesome.
So well, we're still working. There is still a lot to be done. We got to bring this world around to, and if the Muslim people would accept Our Lady, Queen of the World,
yeah,
she will turn them to her son.
It's going to be incredible, Barbara. I'll tell you what, let me do this. I have to take a short pause. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about Archbishop Sheen. I was super impressed by his view of the future. It was almost prescient what he said. And we'll talk about him. We'll talk about the power of consecration. I'll take your calls, too. If you've got a question, an insight, if you've got a concern, you want to join the conversation, I only have a few moments to hang out with you today. So feel free to join Barb Ernster and myself at 888-914-9149. You can call right now and love to talk with you. 888-914-9149. Taking a look at the future of Islam, the conversion of of Islam. And I believe it'll come through Our Lady.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Get caught up on this conversation and all the others by going to the Relevant Radio archives. Just search for The Drew Mariani Show.
Hey, thanks for joining me. Great to be here with you today. Do me a favor. Would you follow us on Twitter? Maggie's doing a great job following all of the prayer intentions that come through that, as well as posting great information from the broadcast here. And you can interact, too. Send us great news stories or things you'd like us to cover and sound off on the issues we talked about. The website is, or the Twitter handle is at Drew Mariani Show. All right. Drew Mariani Show. Do a search for it. It'll pop up, right? Or you can also follow me personally at Drew Mariani. I try to reshare a lot of what comes in. And then you can also go to Facebook. It's facebook.com, keyword the Drew Mariani Show. So like us, follow us, share us with others, and let's build our family. All right. If you want to join me today, too, here's the number for you. It's 888-914-9149. If you're just tuning in, I thought it'd be important to give a perspective on where we are. I mean, there's a lot of talk about, you know, Afghanistan now becoming a terrorist training camp. And with that, you're hearing pundits and politicians all talk about how, you know, we are not going to be safe, that we will see suicide bombers on U.S. soil, you know, that we might see another 9/11 one day, and that our border is porous. And you know, watch all this stuff. You see some of the decisions being made at the highest levels of government. And it is really easy to think, oh, my gosh, I'm so concerned. I'm worried about myself or my spouse or my child or, you know, what's going to happen? And I really think that's the wrong mindset. I really do. I refuse to give in to fear. I refuse to give in to anxiety. Instead, I strap on, you know, the armor of trust and faith. That's what I do. You know, that's my shield. That's my breastplate. That's what I choose to wear. And prayer, that's my weapon, my rosary, my chaplet. You know, that's what changes things, you know, and with that, you'll see the fruit of it. You really will. We need personal conversion. I think that's so important. You know, we pray for the conversion of others, but we got to work on ourselves, don't we? I need to become holy. I need to work on my own heart and my own relationship with God. That's really the solution. It really is. In fact, Sister Lucia said, if we want to bring about the triumph of the Immaculate Heart, we need to pray for conversion. Yeah, but we need to work on our own. Bishop Sheen, I was sharing with you just a little bit earlier, back in 1950, you know, this great future saint, he believed that Our Lady, it would be the Virgin Mary that would bring about a mass conversion of our Islamic brothers and sisters. Islamic terrorism could be short-circuited, just as atheistic communism got short-circuited, right? I don't see a difference there. I think so often there's a great deception behind both of these ideologies. Archbishop Sheen thought it'd be Our Lady. You know, will there be a dimension to the conversion of Muslims? Will it come through Our Lady? I'm joined by Barb Ernster today. As I said, you can check out the wonderful work that the World Apostle of Fatima does at BlueArmy.com. Great resources there, and get behind that organization. She's communication director there, and I've asked her to stop by. And Barb, let's pick up on Bishop Sheen's point. I know you and I both were reading that material that a friend of mine had sent over, and I thought Sheen was, as I said, prescient on this. Give me your thoughts on the great Archbishop Fulton Sheen, his statement. Will there be a Marian dimension to the conversion of Muslims?
Well, I mean, he was talking about this long before any of us knew much about. I mean, this was 1950, as you said earlier. I mean, even before 9/11, Drew, did any of us think about terroristic groups coming from the Muslims? We didn't even. Now we're coming up on 20 years since that time. It's the 450th anniversary this year of the Battle of Lepanto. I'm looking at our nation right now, and I'm seeing how weak we are. And Sister Lucia said the triumph will come through our own personal conversion. And the message of Fatima is, it's a way to achieve that. And the first essential condition is to offer up every day your sacrifices, as sanctify your daily duty. That is your path to holiness. And then the rosary, the scapula, the chaplets, the confession, all the other things we do are the spiritual aids that help us with that personal conversion. And Our Lady promised peace at Fatima. This was something that Bishop Sheen spoke about as well, and he said, the Blessed Virgin chose to be known as Our Lady of Fatima as a pledge and a sign of hope to the Muslim people, and as an assurance that they who show her so much respect will one day accept her divine son too. And we all want peace. That was one thing when we did our two-year tour across America with the International Pilgrim Virgin Statue. It was the peace tour, the 100th anniversary peace tour. Big picture of Our Lady of Fatima and the message on the side of the RV. It was a message to our Muslim neighbors as well, that we want peace. This was a tour for peace. And we're still trying to achieve that peace. But we know what our Lord said to St. Faustina, mankind will not know peace until it turns to him. And so we're in this position where we all individually have to look at ourselves. We aren't going to convert our Muslim neighbors or anybody else until we convert ourselves. And I see how much our young people have walked away from their Catholic roots and from God, and our even older people who just take it so lightly. We have to strengthen ourselves. We have to be soldiers for Christ, and we're soldiers for Our Lady, and we're in a battle right now. And the more people that join in this battle, the greater the effect is going to be. It's not that we personally have to go out and pick up arms. I know there's a lot of talk of stuff like that, but really we have to personally convert and be operating under the power of God.
So Sister Lucia, she said that, you know, if you want to pray for the triumph of the Immaculate Heart, or, you know, if you want the triumph of the Immaculate Heart, we need to pray for that, but we also need to work on our personal conversion. So she knew that, right? Yes. She says, and it makes such sense when you talk about that. It's so easy to pray, oh, I pray for the conversion of China or Russia or whatever. What good is it if we're puffed with pride and arrogance? We're entrenched in our own sin and we're not in that walk with the Lord. I really believe prayer has to come from the heart, and it has to be deep, and it has to be well felt. And I believe you got to, in order to do that, you have to be in a relationship with the Lord. You need to really work on that. How do you do that, Barb? I mean, that's easier said than done. We talk about working on personal conversion and holiness. What advice would you give to those who say, yeah, I need to do that, but what are some of the first steps?
Well, first of all, we have to recognize sin in our own lives, that sin has consequences. War was a punishment for sin, Our Lady told St. Jacinta. War was a punishment for sin. We're possibly on the verge of another war in the Middle East. I know my son did tell me, he said, if anything happens over there, it could spark another war. And I mean, none of us want this. None of us want this. But we have to look at our own personal connection to Jesus Christ, our relationship to our Catholic faith. Are we using the sacraments? Are we looking to them as where we get our grace? The sacrament of confession once a month. When you practice the first Saturday devotions that Our Lady asked for, it's because she wanted us to go to monthly confession. Because the more we're cleaning out now and the more we're seeing ourselves, the more, I'm telling you, the more you go to confession, the more you will see. Then we're people operating under God's grace, and then we have power. We don't have any power if we're not operating under His grace. We can't change this world by going and talking to the Taliban. We can't change the world by, you know, I mean, we all have neighbors and friends and relatives who are, they're fighting and they're divisive over the most ridiculous things on whether you've been vaccinated or not. We're going to have peace when we're all operating under the power of God and looking at the world through His eyes.
Yeah, I think about the apparition in Fatima, what Our Lady said. She talked about the power of the rosary, and we know the power of Eucharistic adoration, especially penance. You know, the Holy Father has called the world to pray for Afghanistan, to pray and to fast. He said to pray and to do penance. You know, fasting is a form of penance, but there are other mortifications that we can offer up. And they're hard. They're not fun. But there's a power in them because they amplify the power of our prayer. The Fatima children understood that. I think of Sister Adele Bryce. She was the recipient of the vision that occurred before the Fatima visions back here in our own country, the only church-approved apparition in our country. And when the Mother of God appeared, she came as a queen of heaven. She said to Adele, you know, after the Eucharist, you received the Eucharist, that's great, but you need to do more. She wanted us to teach the faith, but she also called for the conversion of sinners, to pray for the conversion of sinners, and had to start with her own heart. And that's where we've got to begin too. Barb, I'm grateful for your time. I got to hold it right there. WorldApostleToFatima.com. That's the best way to connect, to get info, to sign the pledge. I mean, I'll give you the final thoughts here.
BlueArmy.com.
So go ahead. I'll give you the final thoughts.
Next year is our 75th anniversary. We really want to start a whole new March of Pledges. And it's just a spiritual pledge that you sign that you strive to do what Our Lady asked you to do, namely to offer up your daily duty, sanctify your daily duty, and that's what will help you become holy. Pray a rosary every day, wear the brown scapular as a sign of your entrustment to Our Lady, and practice the first Saturday devotion, which it brings us to monthly confession. And, of course, we're always asking people, spend more time before our Eucharistic Lord. That's what St. Francisco did. Many prayers were answered for him because of the time he spent with our Eucharistic Lord. We'll be promoting all-night vigils of reparation on First Friday, First Saturday next year as well. That's part of our march that we want to do next year, part of our strategy. We want to start this year, but we're working on getting this communicated.
Well, Barbara, I got to hold it there because I'm out of time. Thank you for making time for us today. Thanks for your great work, too, at the Blue Army. We're so grateful for all that the Blue Army has done over the years. I'm out of time for the day. I'll be back again tomorrow to give you another unique look at life, hopefully one through the eyes of our faith. If you enjoy the program, set it to your dial, right? And tell others about it until our paths can cross. Remember, God loves you, and so do I. Have a great day.